Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
So great to see everybody in person and online. Are you excited to be at church today? I'm excited to have you. I can't wait to bring this message to you today. Get ready, because we're going to have a little bit of fun today. So if you're in person and feel comfortable, you can remove your mask for the sermon part only. And once you are ready to leave, just put it back on. So welcome once again. I'm excited because we're in this season or this series that we've been talking about for the past few months. I hope you guys aren't getting tired of hearing about Israel or the nation of Israel. And I hope that you stay with me in this series because I truly believe that God is going to continue to speak to our hearts and to our lives through the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt and moving in to possess the promised land. Because how many know that God has something great in store for you? How many know that God has an incredible promise and blessing and destiny over your life? How many know that God has not hit the pause button over your life, over what he's doing for you and through you and to you? How many know we're growing? We're all growing. We're becoming better. We're becoming stronger. And God is doing something new in us and through us. We're reevaluating our priorities. We've been reevaluating how we spend our time. We're trusting God more. We're believing God more. How many know that things might look bleak at the outside, but on the inside, we're getting better. We're becoming stronger. God is moving, and God wants to move, and God is going to move, and he has incredible blessing and promises over your life. And this is the thing about the promises of God. Some of you don't even know the promises that God has spoken over your life. There are promises that God has spoken to you and spoken over you that you have yet to see, that you have yet to hear about. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." In other words, there are promises that you have yet to possess. If you're not dead, God is not done. And if you're in this room, and if you're watching online, and if you're watching this message today, and you are breathing, that means God still has a plan. God still has a purpose. God still has a destiny for your life. It doesn't end here. There's more to come. God has more in store. Our best days are ahead. Our best years are ahead. Our best decade is still ahead. Come on now. You know, we think that the church is dying or the people of God are fading. No, we're just getting stronger. Come on now. We're just getting better. And I believe with my whole heart that God has something new for us. But this is the thing. New requires faith. Just because God has pronounced a promise over your life, just because God has told you that great things are ahead, just because that God has incredible things in our future does not mean we automatically possess what God promised, because it requires faith. We've got to believe that God has something good for us. We have to believe in the promises of God. We have to believe that God has a great future in store for each and every one of us. I love how the writer of Hebrews writes this. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says in verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses." By the way, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Witnesses that have gone before us, like Abraham, like Abel, like Sarah and Noah. That's what the scripture is talking about. He lists the Hebrews chapter 11 is called, you know, we call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. And in that chapter 11, you read about the great men and women of God. And right now, surrounding us in the heavens are great men and women of faith. And it says, since we've been surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. How many know we're in a season of stripping? I've been talking to you about that. I've been trying to get that message across that God is stripping us. Why? He's stripping us of those things that have been slowing us down. Things that have been a weight on our lives. Things that have been slowing us down to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. So he says, let us strip off every weight, everything, every activity, every habit, every busyness. And he says, especially that sin. Yes, that sin that so easily trips us up. He says, and let us run with what? Endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. You know, we're all in a race. We're all running a race. This life, this spiritual life, is a spiritual journey in which we are running in. We're in a race. And it's not how well you start. How many know? It's how well you finish. Because anybody can start anything. You know, when I was younger, I was really amazed by people who started stuff. Well, I'm starting a business. That's amazing, right? In our culture, we celebrate that, right? That's amazing. You started a business. Oh, I'm starting a company. Or I'm starting to follow Jesus. Or I'm starting a church. Or I'm starting to write a book. Or what about this one? I'm starting to exercise. Come on now, right? Oh, that's amazing. It's about time. Oh, that's amazing, right? About time. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm starting to exercise. And you know what? We celebrate people starting stuff. But the longer I'm alive and the longer I'm in this, I realize that it's not so much starting that really matters. It's finishing that matters. It's sticking with it that matters. And this life of faith is not just about starting. It's about finishing. It's about enduring. It's about not giving up. You know, why is it that not only do we celebrate people starting, but we celebrate when people leave? Oh, you're leaving your job. Yay, we're throwing a party. Right? Oh, you're leaving the church. Yay, we're throwing you a party. Oh, you're quitting. Yay, we're throwing you a party. Oh, you're getting divorced. Yay, let's throw a party. Yay, right? We celebrate quitting. We celebrate giving up. How about we celebrate people that stay? How about we celebrate people that endure? How about we celebrate the people that have been here for 10 years, 15 years? Come on now. How about we celebrate the people that don't quit, that don't give up, that don't throw in the towel? Because this is what I've learned. It takes more faith to stick to something and stay with something than to start something or quit something. It takes more faith to stick it out. It takes more faith to remain. It takes more faith to endure than it does to start or to quit. And I wonder how many people are missing out on God's plan for their lives simply because they have starting faith, but they don't have finishing faith. Why do we give up sometimes? Why do we not finish? Because it's so hard. You ever run a marathon? You know, I've run a couple marathons in the past. Wait, what? What, they laughed at the 9 o'clock service, too. What's going on here, people? You guys don't believe I've run a marathon? I run marathons in my mind. We could all start a marathon, right? How many in this room could say, I could sign up and be a part of the New York City Marathon? Come on. Finda, let me see your hand because I know you run. I know you're a runner. Right, we can start, how many can start a marathon? I don't care if you're in a wheelchair, I don't care what, you can start a marathon. We can all start a marathon, but how many of us can finish it? It's not about starting, but it's about finishing. And what I've learned is that so many people miss out on God's plan because they think that this journey of faith is a sprint and not a marathon. They think it's about starting, but not enduring and not finishing. Why? Because once you get on this journey of faith, it's going to get hard. It's going to be challenging. You're going to face obstacles. You're going to want to give up. You're going to want to throw in the towel. Don't raise your hand. But how many felt like giving up lately? How many felt like quitting lately? How many have said, you know what, I'm running this marathon, but I ain't going nowhere. It just seems like I'm just on a treadmill. I'm not making progress. It's too hard. Things are too difficult. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to give up. And so many people miss out on God's plan and purpose and destiny for their lives simply because they quit before they should. They give up before they cross the finish line. I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to keep running. And I'm going to keep trusting. And I'm going to keep believing until I finally cross the finish line, not in this world, but in the next. Because that is our goal, to continue to follow Christ all the way to the end and to fulfill his purpose in our lives. You know, in 2001, I quit. I'm not proud of it, but I quit. I quit the church and I quit the ministry. I was planting a church in Boston, and God had called us there back in 1998. I was a little boy. Why are you guys laughing at me today? Come on now. I was only 8 years old when God called me. No, I'm just kidding. We can have some fun today, right? It's all right to have some fun, right? 1998, God had called me to plant this church in Boston, and after 3 years, I had enough because it was too hard. It was too difficult. So I literally quit, not quit in my mind. I quit on a Sunday morning. I said, I quit. I'm leaving, and I'm going to? No. What's the other place we all want to go? Florida. How many would love to quit right now and go to Florida? Right? I mean, I know their cases are rising. I know about all that. Come on, you New Yorkers. I ain't going to Florida now. I ain't going down. But come on, let's say it was wonderful out there, right? All right, let's say, y'all don't care about Florida now because it's 95 degrees, but 6 months from now, how many are going to Florida? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all going to Florida. And I was going to Florida. I didn't know where I was going. I said, worst comes to worst, I'll move in with my parents. Nope. Y'all can't see this online. She said, yup. Just kidding. I'm moving with my parents, and I quit. I gave up. I said, I'm done with pastoring here. I'm done. I announced it to the church. I told my supervisor, and I was done. But after a couple of weeks, as I was praying, God asked me, and he said to me, I hear you quit. Yeah, I quit. Who told you to quit? But God, it's so hard here. You don't understand the people. It's so hard to reach people. And I'm so tired. This is hard, God. All right, I get that, but who told you to quit? And God said to me, did I tell you to quit? I think I heard you say quit. I think I heard quit. I think maybe. No, I didn't tell you to quit. And I remember lying on my back in my living room apartment, totally my hands spread open, saying, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to stay. And don't quit. Don't give up. Because I have a plan for your life. Well, God, if I don't quit now, that means I have to call my supervisor, my superintendent. That means I have to go to the church. Yeah, you have a choice. So I dug deep down in my soul. I gave a call to my supervisor. I said, his name was Brother. We call him Brother. Brother Stanley. I know I said I quit. Yeah, Joe, I heard. But I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm staying. Well, that's great news, Joe. That's great news. Go ahead and tell the church on Sunday. When I stood before the church on that Sunday, I said, we're not quitting. I'm going to continue to stay until God says it's time to quit. If I didn't make that decision to not quit, I do not believe I would be here today. Because no one can push you out of God's plan except for you. And so many people quit when God is not telling them to quit. He's telling them, keep running. Keep walking. Keep believing. Because we walk, the scripture says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And there are times in life that we have to keep walking and keep believing. Even when we see things aren't changing, we got to believe that God is moving. And even though we don't believe that God is moving, we have to continue to believe that God is moving behind the scenes of our lives. And I can remember staying in that church for several more years, couple more years, until God said it was time. And then God promoted me to another location in Massachusetts. You see, that whole season of difficulty was actually preparing me for the next season. Come on now. Because now God knew, I could trust you because I know you ain't going to quit. I can trust you because I know when it gets hard, you're not going to give up. I can trust you now because I know when coronavirus and the pandemic hits Middletown, you ain't going to quit. You're not going to give up. When the doors of the church are closed for 4 months, I know I'm going to put you in that position. I'm going to put you in that role because I know you're not going to quit. Sorry for spitting. Put your mask. You might want to put your mask on. Might want to put it back. We got to put a shield here in front of the church. Come on now. Put a shield. Everybody watching on TV, put a shield. Put a shield up. So let's get into the story here. Joshua finally told the children of Israel, it's time to cross the Jordan and go to the other side. And that's where we left the story last week. They finally crossed the Jordan. The entire Israel army then got circumcised. That all happened last week. If you don't know what happened last week, watch the video because it was pretty fun last week. And now they finally healed up, and now they're ready to take possession of the promised land. Now they're in the promised land. And now they're ready to take possession of the promised land. But in order to take possession of the promised land, they had to first deal with the city of Jericho. You see, just because you are walking into God's destiny for your life does not mean that there are not going to be strongholds that have to be ripped down and taken a hold of in Jesus' name. You have to understand that in our lives, when we're living in this world, the enemy takes strongholds, strongholds in our minds, strongholds in our hearts. And just because we know Jesus Christ and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ does not mean that those strongholds disappear. What we need to do is take possession of the promise by ripping down those strongholds. That's what Scripture teaches us. Ripping down those difficulties, ripping down those walls that are keeping us from possessing the promise. So Joshua speaks in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. He says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred. First of all, Jericho was a fertile spring. It was like an oasis in the middle of the Jordan Valley. It was called the City of Palms because of all the palm trees. Imagine that. It was beautiful. It was lush. It was the center of commerce. It was like a hub for the region. But it was secured by these 26-foot-high walls, okay? Secured by these walls. And God speaks to Joshua, and Joshua 6:1 says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, everybody say, see. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. If you've been with me these past few weeks, you know I've been emphasizing the importance of seeing, not in the physical, but in the spiritual. Being able to see your circumstances through the eyes of faith. God is speaking to Joshua and telling Joshua, see, not with your physical eyes, but with your eyes of faith, because I have already delivered Jericho into your hands. Come on now. He says, see, I've already done it. The challenge you see before you has already been taken care of. You just need to trust me. You just need to look at the situation with eyes of faith. I have already given to you the promise. The promise belongs to you. see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and fighting men. See, what seemed like an impossible situation in the natural was not an impossible situation with God. How many know that impossible situations are not intimidating to God? How many know that just because you're on lockdown does not mean that you're locked out of God's blessings? Right? You see, so here's the scenario. Jericho is on lockdown. Why? Jericho's on lockdown because they were afraid of the Israelites. They were afraid of Israel. They were afraid of what they heard about the Israelites. So they put everything on lockdown in Jericho. And this is the problem, though. Jericho belonged to God, and Jericho belonged to Israel. But they were doing everything they could to keep the people of God away or out of what God had already given to them. I just want to tell you today that right now the enemy is doing his best to keep you and everyone and everything on lockdown because he knows what's coming. You see, the people of Jericho knew what was coming, so they put the city on lockdown. We're not letting anybody out, and we're not letting anybody in. And I truly believe that this is what's happening in our world today as you look at our world with spiritual eyes. Because I truly believe that we are on a verge of an incredible move of God. I believe that God is awakening his church. I believe that revival is coming. I believe that in these last days, God is going to pour out his spirit upon all people. But right before the move of God, or right before we take possession of the promise, follow me now, the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep us on lockdown. He's going to do his best to keep you out of church. He's going to do his best to lock down the churches. He's going to do his best to lock down the things that are happening in this world. But how many know that the devil could do everything he can to lock down the church? But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Come on now. Right before the promise, right before you take possession of what God has promised you, you are going to experience some of your most difficult times and challenges and difficulties. That's why you're in the mess you're in. That's why you're in the difficulty you're in. That's why you feel like you're not making progress. That's why you feel like it's just walls. That's why it feels like there's nothing but stone walls in front of you. The question is, are you going to trust and walk by faith, or are you going to quit? So in verse 2, he says, see, let's go back to verse 2. See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. Right? Isn't that amazing? Look, Joshua, see. But I have a problem with seeing, because verse 1 tells us that the gates of Jericho were securely barred. What do you do when what you see is different than what God said? What do you do when what you see in the natural is different than what God has said in the spiritual? You know what God has said over you? He says you will be the head, not the tail. He said that every spiritual blessing I will release over your life. He says you are favored. You are a child of God. I will bless you, and I will provide for you, and I will prosper you, and I will lead you, and I will guide you. Just go over every promise that God has listed in Scripture. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But what happens when what you see is different than what you feel? What happens when you see is different than what God has said? And many people come short of possessing the promise because of what they see in the natural. And Joshua and the Israelites saw a city with 26-foot high walls that it would be impossible to possess. But how many know that with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible? Amen. All things are possible. What God wants to do in this season, when what you see is different than what God has said, is he wants to help you see what's beyond these walls. Because it's not what you see that matters. It's what God has said. You see, Joshua's reality was not what he saw. It's what God said. And I wonder how many are living in the reality of what they see instead of what God has said. Come on. It's not what you see. My reality is not what I see. My reality is what God has said. And if God said it, that is what I'm going to put my faith in and believe and trust, knowing that whatever God has said, it will come to pass, because in God, his promises are yes and amen. So no matter what you're looking at, no matter what is staring at you in the face, no matter what walls might be before you, no matter what obstacles you are facing, those things are not a sign that you're not getting into the promise. On the contrary, it is a sign that the devil is doing everything he can to keep you out of God's promise. I feel like preaching today. Come on now. Right before the blessing, the enemy will put everything on lockdown and put up walls to keep you out from what already belongs to you. That's why things are hard. That's why things are tough. That's why you're experiencing challenges. That's why we're going through what we're going through. See, in order for them to walk into and possess what God has promised, we have to believe in what God has said and not on what we see. I don't know what God has said to you, but first of all, I know what he said in his word, that he will not leave us, that he will provide, that nothing's impossible for him. No matter what you're seeing today, what challenges are you seeing? What obstacles are you seeing? What impossibilities are before you? What Jericho lies in front of you? What addiction is before you? What sin is before you? What struggles before you that seems impossible? You know what God wants from you? He wants you to declare his promises over that situation. God, I know what I see, but I know what you've said. I know what I see, but I know what you've said. And I'm going to stand on the promises of God. I'm going to stand in faith and believe in what you have said, not based on what I see. So in order for them to possess this promise, and I'm going to ask Dave to come up because we're running out of time, but in order to possess this promise, God gave them a strategy, a war strategy, because now Joshua is going not on what he sees, but on what God says. And when you listen to what God says, he will give you the strategy to possess what he's promised. Come on. When you look at what God has said, or when you hear what God has said, he will give you the strategy to possess what he's promised. So he told Joshua, he says, get the people ready, and this is my strategy. This is what I want you to do. I want you to gather all the people, and every morning for 6 days, I want you to walk around the city. But don't say a word. Just walk. Just walk. 6 days. Day one, walk around the city, go to sleep, wake the morning. Wake up. Okay, what's the strategy, Joshua? We're going to walk around the city again and not say a word. Isn't this crazy? You know, because if I was the general, if I was Joshua, I'm like, thank you, God. I know what you've said, but this is what I see. So what we're going to do is we're going to get some cannons, and we're going to get some aircraft, and we're going to get some bazookas, and we're going to put dynamite around the foundation. And while they're walking around, that's great, but this is going to be my plan. No, it can't be your plan and God's plan. It has to be God's plan, God's way, because this is God's fight. This is God's battle. See, there's a scripture that says, be still and know that I am God. Or God spoke to Joshua, or I'm sorry, Moses said, be still, for the Lord will fight for you. You see, for 6 days, they walked around one time for 6 days, six being the number of men, man. Six being impossible for man. But as they obeyed God and followed his plan, God would eventually lead them to victory. But our job, follow me, our job is obedience. That's our responsibility. Outcome is God's responsibility. And in the season that you're in, the difficulty that you're in, what God wants for you is to obey and to walk by faith and not by what you see. So Joshua leads the people six times. And you know how hard that must have been for his soldiers, his the men who were ready to go to battle? Do you know how hard it must have been to keep walking around? Joshua, are you crazy? You want us to walk? And if we walk, you're telling me that the walls are going to come down? I don't know about you, but I would have wanted some proof. Like after three laps around the walls, I needed something to keep me motivated. Maybe it would have been nice if a brick would have fell, right? I'm walking. Yes, thank you, Lord. You're moving. The next day, you're walking, crack in the wall. Yes, God is moving. And so many of us are waiting for motivation before we give full obedience to God. And God is saying, that's not how faith works. Faith is believing even when you don't see. Because the work that God does in you before you possess the promise is he does the work in you before he does the work for you. And you just got to believe in that season. So lap by lap by lap by lap, they continue to trust God. They continue to walk by faith. You see, they were in God's process. And sometimes we don't feel like we're making progress when we're in the process. But I just want to tell you that there's always progress in the process. Just listen to me. Don't quit while you're in the process. Don't quit while you're in the process. Because just because you don't see progress does not mean we're not making progress. Progress is not always seen outwardly. Progress is not always seen in our lives. And just because God has said something and we don't see what he has said does not mean that, first of all, we're not going to possess the promise, nor does it mean that God is not moving in the process. You see, we're all in a work of progress, or we're all in the process. And right now, we are in the process of faith. We're in process. We're walking. We're believing. We're trusting. God, I'm trusting you for my marriage. I'm trusting you for my finances. I'm trusting you for my home. I'm trusting you. And the more you walk, the more discouraging it could be. Because some of you have been walking laps, and you've been walking lap after lap after lap. And some of you are on the verge of quitting. Some of you on the verge of giving up. Some of you are on the verge of just throwing in the towel because it's too hard and because you're walking, but you don't see progress. And I came to tell you today, don't give up. Don't quit. Because it's not the progress, it's the process. It's not the progress, it's the obedience. And this is what God is wondering. Are you going to keep walking even though your situation hasn't changed? Are you going to keep trusting even though things are the same? Are you going to continue to believe even though there hasn't been a crack in the wall? I wonder if you're going to keep taking laps. What do you do when what you see doesn't line up with what God says? This is the title of my message, and this is a word for you today. What do you do when what you see doesn't line up with what God says, this is what you do. You ready? Everybody ready? Let me say it one more time. What do you do when what you see doesn't line up with what God says? You take another lap. You take another lap. God, I'm not seeing progress in this area of my life, but I'm going to keep walking. God, I don't see an end to this coronavirus pandemic, but I'm going to keep walking. God, I don't see progress being made in this area of my life, but I'm going to take another lap. Lord, I'm still in this sin. I'm still struggling with this addiction, but I'm going to take another lap. God, I know it's hard and my marriage is on the brink, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, God, I know that my job is uncertain, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to, I came to tell you today, don't give up. Don't give in. Take another lap. Don't stop on 4. Don't stop on 5. Don't stop on 6. Keep walking. Keep believing. Because on the 7th day, the walls will come down. And some of you are on lap 5 and you're ready to give up. Some of you are on lap 6 and you're almost there. You're almost there. And God is saying, don't quit on 6. Come on now. And some of you are on day 7. And on day 7, God told Joshua, have them walk 7 times around. And some of you are walking on lap 3 on day 7. And you're still thinking this is crazy. But God is saying, don't quit on 3. Don't quit on 4. Don't quit on 5. See, I have already given you the city. See, I have already released the promise. Keep walking. Keep believing. Don't quit until you see God answer your prayers, until you see God break down those walls, until you see God bring breakthrough in your life. And on day 7, on the 7th time around, this is what God told him. Now you can speak. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to shout for victory. I want you to shout in victory. And I wonder how many here today and watching online will give God the victory in advance for what he has already released over your life. Because whatever you're praying for, God has already released over your life. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean that you're not going to possess it. God wants you to not give up. I leave you with this last verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. It says this, patient endurance is what you need now. You just got to keep running. Patient endurance is what you need now, that you will continue to do God's will. And what does it say is the end result? Then you will receive all that he has promised. I just wanted to tell you today, thank you for joining us today. Keep running. Keep believing. Take another lap. Keep walking. Keep trusting. We're going to get through this mess. We're going to get through these trials. We're going to get through these difficulties with God's help. Amen? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your